Open your Bibles to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. I was thinking about how long I've known this church. And who's the pastor before Brent Brewer? Because you were there. Who's before Brent Brewer? Anyway, I knew him too. So I only met him a few times and Brent Brewer a few times and then Brother Shane. So four of them. So I'll be here when the next one comes, okay? I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's it. It's got a nice one there. So, all right. Ezekiel 34. As you turn there, I do use the ESV, just to let you know. I know you got like three or four different versions going on here. I'm fine with that. No biggie. Let me just tell you a backdrop quickly. Our church is on this year is called Gospel Fluency. We're going back to the gospel for our future as we've been changing in our church. Don't worry, we're not joining the Mormons or anything like that. What we're doing is using four questions, basic questions. Who is God? It's theology. Second question is, what has he done? It's always through Christ, Christology. Usually those two go together, though. And then third question is, who are we? So because of who God is and what he has done, it creates who we are, the church, ecclesiology. Okay? Get that right there, all right? Too many times, and then the last question is, what do we do? That's missiology. How we work it out. So most churches, a lot of people, they just go start with this. What do we do to reach people? Instead of beginning with God, because in the beginning, God, right? We all know this. We're all basic to this. So we start with God. What has he done? That creates who we are, the church. And then what do we do? And so what I've been doing is adding the lie that pushes away, leads us away from Christ, okay? So I'm going to do this four questions in the lie. And it's more of a topical sermon that I'm not used to, but we've been doing it for this year. It's called The Truths of Jesus. We're focusing on Christ, and it's been actually very transformative for most of us in our church. Very excited. So let me jump in. Who is God? Our shepherd. He read it. Our brother read it. Ezekiel 34, look at verse 11. Ezekiel 34, 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them. And so who is God in this passage? Of course, he is the shepherd. Thank you. Thank you for answering. So in this chapter, Israel was in Babylon, not in the land of Israel. And so they needed encouragement. So you might need encouragement as well. God describes himself as their shepherd and how he cares for his sheep. Now, in all these verses, it's clear God the Father is Israel's shepherd. And then notice how the Father turns the attention on someone else. And Brother Neil referenced it even in his prayer. Look at verse 23. The Father says, and I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. So who is the servant David, this one shepherd, this prince? It is Jesus, okay? Clearly Jesus there. So who is God? Our shepherd. Which really reminds us of David's words, right? The Lord is my... I want to get you interacting so you don't fall asleep on me. It's the only way I keep my people awake anyway. So, and our shepherd is described beautifully in Psalm 23, Ezekiel 34, John 10. All three passages have similar truths for us to ponder so we can trust and enjoy our shepherd. So who is God? Our shepherd. Second, what did he do? He shepherds his sheep. And there's so many things he does, you just kind of use those three words to sum it all up, right? But quickly, in verse 11, I'm not going to read the verses, but you can just peekaboo at them and you'll see what I'm talking about. What is our God? How does our God shepherd? In verse 11, he searches for his sheep. Verse 12, seeking them out. Verse 13, he brings them out of the nations to the land. Verse 14, he feeds them good food and they're able to lie down in pasture. There's this progression that's going on here. Searching, then bringing, then feeding, then resting. And we see how these verses are partially fulfilled when Israel as a nation was brought back into their land after captivity. And some would even say today, they're again partially fulfilled since Israel's back in the land even in 2018, right? Crickets. I'm just picking. But the final fulfillment is still in the future because Jesus is not declared the shepherd of Israel today. Though the nation returned to the land, Jesus is not over them as their shepherd, as verse 23 and 24 tell us. Okay, so it isn't fully fulfilled, and that's to be future, of course. But yet, beautifully and wonderfully, we see how God the Father and Son shepherds the flock, the sheep, Andover Baptist Church family. He shepherds you. He shepherds us. So what did our shepherd do? First, we saw he searches for his sheep. So we as followers of God, God found us, right? God found us. And we say God found us, it sounds like he's like, where are you? Can't find you. But the real thing is he's pursuing us to bring us to salvation, right? That's how God found us. He pursued us. So we who have repented of our sins and trusted in Jesus, we understand this conviction of the Holy Spirit on our lives. I remember when I was continually being disturbed in my soul about my sin, even as a 12-year-old, God was pursuing me. No one else knew about it, but God was pursuing me to bring me to salvation. And that's what God does. And so the question is, and I'm mostly probably everyone here is saved, but has God done that to you, right? Where he's pursued you to bring you to salvation. Because if God's not pursuing you, then you can't be saved, even if you say the magical prayer, right? Because Jesus said, no one comes to him unless the Father does what? Draws, right? The Father has to pursue there. And so if you're not a Christian, then if you want God to pursue you like that, ask him, right? Ask him to do that work in your life. He raised the dead. He caused the blind to see. He walks on water. He can certainly work in your life. And so please ask him. And generally, probably most everyone here is a Christian. And then secondly, we see he brings them out of every nation. In verse 13, just the beginning of the verse, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. And so the church are the sheep who have been called out of this world, literally carved out of this world to follow Jesus. And just so you just think of Israel, they came out of Egypt, Passover. They still celebrate that. But they were also brought out of Babylon. Now, New Testament, we're carved out of the world, right? This continual continuity all through Scripture, that we are distinct people of God. As 2 Peter says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. You were not a people, but now you are God's people. You were not a people, but now you are God's people. Beautifully written there. So we who are in the family of God, we know how blessed we are because we belong to him. He is our shepherd and we are secure in him. Flip over to John 10. We're not coming back here. We'll just park at John 10. John 10. Who is God, our shepherd? What did he do? He shepherds his sheep. Verse 3, shepherds his sheep. Jesus is speaking. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So Jesus calls sheep. He leads the sheep. They follow Jesus. Verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus is the door that a sheep must go through to be saved, not just for eternity, but often, right? In the Old Testament, it's not just for salvation of their eternal souls. It's often, save me now, right? Their salvation is throughout life, not just for this eternity, which we should dwell on, but not just for eternity, for now. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So Jesus died to save you. He wasn't thinking you're a great financial investment. No, Jesus loved you enough to die for you so that you can be in the flock of God, which is beautifully what he has done. And so what did he do? Well, he shepherds the sheep. How? Searching and pursuing us and bringing us out of the world and continually feeding us and caring for us, providing for us, nurturing us, calls us and leads us. And he's the good shepherd that died for us. So who is God? He's our, just say it. Shepherd. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. We'd go a lot faster if you answer. I appreciate it. What did he do? Shepherds the sheep. So who are we? Mah. All right, everybody ready? Ready? Mah. All right, thank you. Appreciate that. Look at verse 24. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The words that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You hear that? Isn't that beautiful for us? But these Jews didn't believe in Jesus because they were not part of the flock. They were not sheep who belonged to Jesus at all. I mean, listen to how wonderful it is to be in the flock of God. Look, if you had the ESV, only if you had the ESV. If you don't, you're not allowed to do it. Read with me out loud verse 28 and 29. If you have the ESV, and I hope I'm not the only one reading. Here we go. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So what do Jesus' sheep possess? What's it say? Eternal life. Who can snatch us away from the Father and Son? So what do we got to worry about? Nothing. We really do nothing. Being in the flock of God is pretty awesome stuff. Being Jesus' sheep is an offer you can refuse. But for us who are sheep, he gives us eternal security. That will be, is not just for eternity, but now, right? So who is God our shepherd? What do? Shepherds or sheep. Who are we? I was waiting for that one. Thank you. I appreciate that. What do we do? Last question. Trust and enjoy Jesus our shepherd. We trust Jesus our shepherd so we can enjoy Jesus our shepherd. Ezekiel 34, Psalm 23 are giving us the same theme about how our shepherd calls us to rest in him so we don't worry, so we can lie down in green pastures, enjoy still waters, and be restored. We can even go through the dark days because Jesus is totally with us. And we know goodness and mercy will always be with us because Jesus is with us. There it is, right? So what do? We trust our shepherd so we can enjoy our shepherd. King David, who penned Psalm 23, had very dark days in his life. Has anybody here ever had a lion, a bear, Goliath of Gath try to kill you? Anybody? Just raise your hand. Anybody? The guy, a little liar over there. All right. I hope he ain't talking about his wife. What about the President of the United States putting a high price on your head, dead or alive, every place in the United States, or you had to live in mountains, even go to Mexico to survive? Anybody? Have anybody have your own son try to kill you? What about fighting hand-to-hand combat, many wars, blood and guts, death of great friends, time and time again? Welcome to David's world. That's pretty tough, isn't it? I wouldn't want that life. I like it nice and cushy in America. Okay? Yet, he understood hardships, but he wasn't bitter against God. He wasn't mad against God for all the sins people committed against him. Because David was a sheep, he knew his shepherd, so he could write, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in this path of righteousness for his name's sake. And though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil." Why? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you hear that? That's David. And you look at his life and you go, how can you say that? You should be bitter against God. Because he knew his shepherd. He trusted his shepherd so he can enjoy his shepherd. Right? David could trust his shepherd, so he enjoyed his shepherd. David's shepherd was his stability in a chaotic world around him. David's shepherd gave him peace within when life was hurting. David's shepherd restored his soul when he was empty. David's shepherd led him to see green pastures when everyone else saw desert. David's shepherd, literally, so he can enjoy God when everybody has clung to their false gods and false hopes. What do? Trust and enjoy Jesus our shepherd. So what's the lie? What's the sin we tend to lean into? Look at verse 19. I always try to take it in the passage that I'm going to. It says, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. What are the words? Well, he's talking about himself being the shepherd. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? He's referring back to chapter 9 there. Verse 20 is really the key. He has a demon, is insane. Why listen to him? These people here are not fully trusting in Jesus as they wrestle with who Jesus is. As one said, why listen to him? And so they don't trust Jesus. Because they don't trust Jesus, can they enjoy Jesus? No, you can't enjoy him at all, right? And so we expect this from people who have never trusted in Jesus. But even as us as Christians, there are times when life's hard and we begin to doubt Jesus. when life's difficult, frustrating. And so he's like, what is God doing? He's not telling me the future, and I'm very anxious about the future, right? So I begin to what? Doubt. Doubt. Folks, when we don't trust Jesus, we're not going to enjoy him in all that he's actually doing in our lives. Just think about someone right here in this church, right here. They may have been here just this morning or whatever. Think of someone you enjoy. You just enjoy being around. I want you to put their name in your mind right quick, okay? Think of one person you just enjoy being around that comes to this church. First question, do you trust them? The answer is what? Does trusting them and enjoying them go together? Often what? Yeah, because you can't really enjoy someone unless you what? Trust them. So what is the sin we tend to lean on about Jesus is we doubt our shepherd. There it is right there. We begin to doubt our shepherd. When we doubt our shepherd, we cannot enjoy our shepherd. When we doubt him, we cannot enjoy him. Look at verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, Jesus is speaking, he goes before them. This is he's speaking of himself. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, this is talking about us. Who are we following? The answer is always Jesus, remember? In the church, right? When we trust our shepherd, can we enjoy our shepherd? Yes. Look at the next verse. Verse 5. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. Are we going to follow a stranger? No. Why not? Because we don't trust strangers. Right? Stranger danger. Right? All right? We don't trust them. We don't know them. We don't trust them. Verse 10. Jesus gives us contrast. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that you and I may have life and have life abundantly. Since we trust Jesus, we can enjoy Jesus as he shows us how to live abundantly in this world. But when we doubt our shepherd, we cannot enjoy our shepherd. So what's a sin we tend to lean on? Doubting our shepherd. We doubt our shepherd. So think about this. What if David doubted his shepherd by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. When he gives me everything I want, when I want it, and when I get it, that's when I will lie down in green pastures." Is that what it says? Or David was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. So while he was in the valley, what if he chose to doubt a shepherd? Would the shepherd's rod and staff comfort him? Would David still be able to say, "I fear no evil," while he was doubting the shepherd in the valley of the shadow of death? No, David would be freaking out, saying, "Get me out of here now!" Okay? But instead, he's what? Trusting his shepherd in the valley of the shadow of death. So he's enjoying his shepherd. What do? We trust our shepherd so we can enjoy our shepherd. We're not going to trust and enjoy how goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life while we're doubting our shepherd. It's just not going to happen. It doesn't even make sense. I mean, look at verse 27, what Jesus says. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. How can we hear and follow when we're doubting the one who is speaking and directing? We can't. What do? We trust and enjoy Jesus, our shepherd. Verse 28 and 29 are verses that you just sit and ponder the beauty of it as it applies to us. Jesus says, I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one would snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of his hands. Now, how much security do we have in the Father and Son? That pretty good stuff? Right? Is there anyone else in the universe who is able to give us that level of security? Can President Trump do it? No? No? Putin? No, no, okay? Folks, we can trust our shepherd forever, and it continues with today, right? Trusting him today, tomorrow, next week. And this is one reason we gather on Sundays, because our trust and enjoyment of Jesus often does this during the week. Okay? It may just be in this area, right? I don't know what all the areas. You say, "I'm 100% on this," but then you go, "Oops, right over there. Yep, I don't trust them like I should," right? And so we need to encourage one another each day. While it's called today, it says in Scripture. And we begin, though, you have to begin by recognizing the areas of doubt that you have toward Jesus. So what area in your life You're not going to say it out loud. We're not going to the verse, confess your sins one to another right now, so don't worry. But what area in your life are you not trusting your shepherd? What area in your life are you not, just put that up there in your mind. Lord, say, Lord, what area I don't trust you in? Maybe it's family. God isn't working fast enough. Maybe it's friends. I wish he would change them soon. Maybe it's your neighbors. Why doesn't he move them elsewhere, anywhere but here? Maybe it's a job. Why can't God give me one of those high-paid, low-labor jobs, you know? I got a lot of plans for my life. I hope he hurries up. What area in your life are you not trusting your shepherds? Now, whatever area you don't trust in him, that is most likely an area where there's little enjoyment. Do you get that? Whatever the area is where you don't really trust Jesus, that's most likely an area where there's little enjoyment. Remember Jesus spoke about this abundant life thing? That's supposed to be in all of our areas of our life, even at work when we don't like it, right? But trusting him at that moment, we can actually start enjoying it. The abundant life Jesus wants for you, you cannot have it in that area, whatever area it is, because as sheep, we must first trust our shepherd before we can enjoy our shepherd as he leads us, even if it's in the valley of the shadow of death, which I don't fully understand, but David wrote it and got it, okay? Because I haven't been there really. Look at verse 10 again. We'll be wrapping up here. End of verse 10. It says, I am come that they might have what? Life and have it what? That's kind of a good life, isn't it? We're not talking about a bunch of money and all that. It's talking about this relationship, because verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And so that's us. He's speaking about us when he wrote this, when he spoke these words. The sheep Jesus is talking about is us trusting and enjoying him. So Ezekiel 34, John 10, Psalm 23 all describes what God as our shepherd is doing for us, how blessed we are in all that he's doing. Our response is to follow. Like a sheep follows their shepherd because the sheep are smart enough. How smart are sheep? Are they like on the top of the food chain, you know? Lions fear them. They're the smartest things in the world. Let me look out for them. No, sheep aren't that smart. Yet they're smart enough to know they can trust their shepherd so they can enjoy life by their shepherd's side. So are you enjoying your shepherd? If you are, then you're trusting him. But this week, when doubt rises in your hearts toward your shepherd, would you come back to John 10? Just read it again. Those words are for you and for me. And read what Jesus is saying and enjoy all that he's still doing. And may the doubt fly away. May faith fill your soul again so you can enjoy your shepherds. Who is God? Our shepherds. What did he do? He shepherds the sheep. Who are we? Thank you. Appreciate that. I just wanted to... What do we do? I heard my trust and enjoy our shepherd. All right. Number four, what's the sin that we tend to lean into? We do what? We doubt. We doubt our shepherd. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for who you are. It's just wonderful as we dwell on you shepherding us. You're such great at it. And you love us so much. Lord, may we just enjoy you, trust you so we can enjoy you, even in those areas where we want to doubt you, those carved out areas in our souls where we want to doubt you. And Lord, we pray that you'll continue that work. And we thank you that you are, because you are shepherding us. You shepherd your children. You shepherd your sheep. We rejoice in that. And all God's people said, amen.